But we wanted to shift our focus from economic matters to matters of life and death. In the Horn of Africa, one of the biggest obstacles to providing aid to the regions that are affected by famine there, at least in Somalia, is the presence of the militant group Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab controls large parts of southern Somalia, and it's linked to Al-Qaeda. And they are refusing to allow in many Western aid organizations. At the same time, as I said, they've blocked refugees from fleeing the country, and they've even imprisoned those who've tried to do so in a containment camp. As a result, the lives of at least 500,000 children are at risk, probably much more. Already tens of thousands have died. Joining us this morning, Bronwyn Bruton, author of the Somalia Special Report for the Council on Foreign Relations, and Abdi Ainte. He's writing a book on Al-Shabaab and was just in Somalia last month. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
You know, let me start with you, Abdi, and help us to understand Al-Shabaab, who they are, and what position they hold in the countries, in the regions where they control. Do they have popular support?
No, they don't have a popular support, and whatever is left of their popular support has now been eroded by the famine that they have largely really created, because they have blocked aid organizations to reach the most needy regions in southern Somalia. So now, last month, when I was in Mogadishu, I was able to observe literally thousands of people leaving the areas that are controlled by the Shabaab. And that manifests, if anything, the fact that they have lost whatever is left of their popular support. Now, this organization started a few years ago, arguably about 7 years ago initially, but made its mark in 2007, early 2007, when Ethiopia sent about 30,000 troops to Somalia. That invasion was supported by the United States. Al-Shabaab was part of an umbrella group called the Union of Islamic Courts. They fought the Ethiopian invasion, and at the time, most Somalis supported the resistance against the Ethiopian invasion. But once the Ethiopians have left under a political arrangement, Al-Shabaab refused to be part of that arrangement and essentially declared themselves as the government of South Central Somalia. As a result, they control about 50% of Somalia today, although I must say that in the past few months, they have sustained a fairly big defeat in the hands of African Union peacekeepers and Somali government troops.
That's Abdi Ainte writing a book on Al-Shabaab, and just as you heard, returned from Somalia last month. Also with us, Bronwyn Bruton, author of the Somalia Special Report for the Council on Foreign Relations. Bronwyn, has this group, I mean, this is, I know when it began, doesn't Al-Shabaab mean the youth? It was made up of largely young men. Has those young men now become older men? Are they aging with the group?
Well, I mean, Al-Shabaab was really created formally around 2004, so they're not old at
yeah.
this stage. And in fact, I think one of the very interesting things about Al-Shabaab is that a lot of people speculate that as many as 50% or possibly more of the fighters in Al-Shabaab are actually more children than youth, I mean, even under the age of 15.
Mm.
So this is an organization that really, it has a lot of very young thugs in it. And I would also like to emphasize that it's a group that doesn't really have a formal command and control. Though we say that Al-Shabaab controls 50% of the territory in Somalia, it's really controlled by groups that are also clan militias, that are also bandits. And I would say that there's no single person in Al-Shabaab who can say, for example, humanitarian relief can come in or humanitarian relief cannot come in. Everything is negotiable on a case-by-case basis, village by village, essentially.
That's Bronwyn Bruton of the Council on Foreign Relations. Abdi Ainte, does that help us understand why we got the message, supposedly a message from Al-Shabaab saying, yes, aid organizations will be allowed to come in and provide relief, and then immediately that was counteracted by another person from Al-Shabaab saying, absolutely not, we won't let them in?
I think that the message that they have lifted the ban and then reinstated it explains a rift that exists within the organization right now. Last month when I was there, one of the things that was discovered after Fazul Abdullah was killed, and Fazul Abdullah was the last al-Qaeda leader in East Africa. He was killed in June. One of the documents that were captured by him illustrated a huge rift between the leaders of al-Shabaab, among the leaders of al-Shabaab, on, among other things, how to deal with foreign aid. And it's true that some of them do favor foreign aid. But I disagree with Bronwyn in the sense that there is no single leadership. I think at this point, while many leaders are trying to make their mark on the organization, overall the organization is led by a very small number of people, largely a guy called Ahmed Abdi Godane and a number of people he trusted. But I think the last chapter of the organization was not written. It's now facing its biggest challenge now that it has lost the Bakara market, which was the largest market in Somalia, which generated about 30 to 40% of their revenue. They've lost that just about 2 months ago. So now they are just in a very serious situation.
That's Abdi Ainte writing a book on al-Shabaab, and Bronwyn Brunton of the Council on Foreign Relations. So at this point, Bronwyn, it's hard for me to understand, at least, why a group of Somalis would let their countrymen die rather than accept food aid. What is al-Shabaab's problem? Is it simply because these aid agencies are largely Western? Is that really it?
Al-Shabaab has said basically that their primary concern is not necessarily, and again, as Abdi pointed out, there is no monolithic opinion within al-Shabaab. There is a national spokesman. There is Godani, who is a national leader. But there are many, many people who have greater military authority, for example, and greater power on the ground than those people. Generally speaking, when al-Shabaab forbids an aid agency, such as the UN World Food Program, from entering a territory, it's because they claim that that organization has political intentions. For example, that they're using food relief to undermine the authority of al-Shabaab. And, you know, again, it really varies person by person and village by village, the extent to which the local Shabaab militia will say, you know, we care what Godani says. But generally speaking, when al-Shabaab has barred an organization, it's because they consider that organization to be a threat to their authority.
And al-Shabaab has claimed that there is no famine in Somalia, that that's been the situation has been exaggerated by the UN. That's Bronwyn Brunton, author of the Somalia Special Report for the Council on Foreign Relations, and also with us Abdi Ainte, writing a book on al-Shabaab and was just in Somalia last month. Thanks to both of you.